You're listening to the BBS Radio Network, and this is Between Two Worlds with Derek White Sky Cloud, healer, author, shaman, paranormal investigator. Stay tuned. Up next is Between Two Worlds with Derek White Sky Cloud.
Welcome, everyone. This is Derek White Sky Cloud, and you're listening to Between Two Worlds on BBSRadio.com, your favorite psychic medium and paranormal investigator, and one who runs around and does all kinds of stuff. That's crazy. Anyways, this week, I want to apologize, everyone. Last week, I went through a lot of heavy-duty stuff, and I couldn't concentrate to do the show yet last week, and I apologize for those listeners, those faithful listeners that want to listen in, and I just couldn't get my mind, my head together, and I had so many things to do. It was, part of it is based on, you know, getting my house in order, basically doing renovations is what it was. I had so many things I'm concentrating on doing, and I just had playing catch up. So anyways, I'm back on. And this week it's just about me. It's basically we're going to be taking calls. I'll be doing mediumship messages as well. And if anybody else actually has any questions about anything as well. I also want to do tonight is about animal totems. So anyone who actually talks about their favorite animal and what it means to them, if you're curious about it, please give me a call. And but I want to share something with you as well. In my own traditions that I follow, we always talk about the medicine wheel. And now I'll give you the numbers right now first before we get started as well. So the numbers are 877-876-5227. That's 877-876-5227. That's in the U.S. Those of you in Canada, it's 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. International Alliance is 530-876-3222. That's 530-876-3222. Yes, I wrote this down to remind myself. Do you guys realize we have over 8 million, I mean, it's our tax time. It's our tax time for Canada. We have, you know, we have this internet, and now everybody's doing their e-taxes online. Well, guess what? Taxation in Canada can't do your taxes that quickly because right now everyone has been crashed. They're all having difficulties getting their taxes put into the program to be sent to Taxation Canada. So let everybody know out there, you guys, just be patient because right now the computers are just squeezing you guys through. So it's going to take a while, so be patient on this one because I know very well today's the 29th. And we got in, I think it's about 30 days for April or 31 days. I'm not too sure. I think it's 30 days. April 31st. I think it's a day or two to go. But I think it's tomorrow. But anyways, 8 million people are actually doing their taxes on the internet. I mean, come on. That is to totally blow me away. I couldn't believe when I heard this on the news that they even crashed for the taxation offices. People don't believe somehow they've forgotten what a letter is. You know what we call snail mail? Has everyone got caught into the internet system that they forgot what a snail letter is? Do your taxes and mail it to the taxation offices a little bit earlier? No, it has to be the last minute, the last day. And this time they go, let's put it on the internet, no problem, it'll be real fast, just a matter of seconds, as long as it gets in there. Right, you guys are jamming it up. It's crazy. Pretty wild. Anyways, I'd also like to welcome everyone in the chat room. It's great to have you guys on. And those of you, if you actually want to ask any questions as well, feel free to ask. I got two computers going, guys. I got myself another computer, and it has dual screens. So I could run my mouse straight across my screen, and I could see what's going on back and forth. I mean, I finally had to. That's another reason why I got really impatient, because my computer kept crashing last week, and I had to start doing something about it, and I thought, you know what? Enough is enough, because I've got so much that I want to put on site. I want to let everybody know that the Pal Talk Room is available. That's open as well. Anybody wants to come into the Pal Talk Room, you're more welcome to join us as well. I'm under Between Two Worlds Radio, so those of you who are actually on the other chat room, we're also in the Pal Talk Room too, so you can either switch back and forth, and you can load up that way too. We're in the spirituality subcategory. So if you're wanting to win there, under the word religion, spirituality, I'm in that subcategory. And you'll be able to get in there, Between Two Worlds Radio. Those of you that are listeners for the very first time, welcome. I've been chatting with a lot of you people out there and let you know that this radio show is running itself quite well. I'd like to thank Don Newsom and his whole staff that have been doing so well. They've been busting their butt making this program so successful, and it's getting bigger and bigger and bigger all the time, because now we've got a station two that there's people actually signing up on station two. And so there'll be more and more people coming in. Because this site, I couldn't believe it. I'm looking at some of the people that are bringing on these programs. There's a lot of people coming in that are movie stars, actors, actresses, famous media people in politics, you name it, everybody in the spiritual field, healing field, controversial field, news field. You've got everything there that's available here on BBS Radio. You couldn't do any better. You couldn't. There's no way you can do any better than that. Also, this last weekend, I was at a powwow. Last Friday, Saturday, and Sunday here in Delta, up in Delta, British Columbia. It was a phenomenal powwow. I really enjoyed it. The powwow was fabulous. We had a lot of fun doing that. There was a lot of people being there that participated. And we actually set up our Machif Métis Museum. I actually one of the culture directors there, so my wife and I were there. We were sharing our cultural stories and letting the public know what's going on in the field, which is absolutely fabulous. I also made up a commercial, guys. I made a commercial. It's on video, and I put it on Facebook. You can go there right now when you get a chance. Go on Facebook, and you'll see the commercial. I'm trying to get the darn thing uploaded into YouTube. I don't know what's going on. For some reason, YouTube is should be able to install my commercial, but it's having difficulties. And I'm working on that. And for as far as the our Machif Métis Museum is concerned, like I'm involved in. I'm just stuttering here. I'm involved in a variety of everything. So it's totally phenomenal. I'm having a great time doing this. So, yeah, the powwow was great. We had a lot of people there. Can't really figure out how many people, as far as the count's concerned. I think at least 500-600 people that came to the powwow. We had a lot of fun. I'd like to thank everybody for coming down to the museum as well, and which we were there as well. I put the teepee up inside. I brought a 10-foot teepee. So the kids had a great time running inside, playing house. Had a lot of fun. Anyways, to get into the situation here, everyone's always asked me about the medicine wheel and what they can do for themselves personally for a medicine wheel, because, you know, we always get we have such great interest in the medicine wheel and learning about our native culture, and some of the people that are non-native that also want to, that are curious about medicine wheel, anybody can make your own. You can actually make your own personal medicine wheel at home. And your first medicine wheel begins with your doorway that you're making your life as sacred vision quest. So basically, it's all to do with what you're doing for yourself. And you'll make it simple. Use a 5-animal wheel with 1 animal fetish in each direction and 1 in the center. So basically, what you're doing is you want to choose an animal of your choice. Some of you may have interest in eagle, bear, wolf, raven, hawk, owl. You never know what your choices are. Even your favorite animals, You choose those five, okay? You pick a place that is special to you to set your first medicine wheel, and then you choose a place that is protected in your backyard, or you call it a sacred location. Then you stop for a moment and say a prayer for the medicine wheel to change your life, which is to heal and to protect you and to create sacred space. You find your directions on your medicine wheel, okay? Now, your directions are this, folks. Your north is the grounding. Now, if you know how to stand in your north, it also represents the healing time, the quiet moments, the white, okay, the color of white. The east is yellow. It also represents change. Now, you also want to place that fetish or that stone. You can also use stones, by the way. Some people use an animal fetish, or you can actually use a stone, a crystal, or even a choosing of your own stone. You can find, even if you find a rock on the side, so say if you're walking along the beach, or if you find this nice rock somewhere on your backyard, you can do that as well. And some kids like to do this too. They'll actually get little teddy bears of different varieties, like little type of tiny stuffed animals. And you can do the same thing in your own house. You can actually make a small little area in your home, and you get these small little stuffed animals, and you can use them as part of your fetishes as well. Your south is for passion. So basically, these are the passions your interests are in life, which is things you want to do for yourself. And the west is power and healing. So basically, you want to create what your power center is and the healing moment you want to take place for yourself. But you're basically looking for that healing condition. You want to send healing to others as well as receiving yourself. And then the center of that wheel is for spirit. So basically, you want the four directions. And that's where you're going to go. So basically, you make your circle. You can make your circle with chalk on a piece of wood, or on even on a piece of, or you can get a small stick and just make a groove into the small in the earth in the backyard somewhere. You can some people do different types of birds, or you can get one of those. You know, you can actually get your own child's hula hoop. You ever seen you know the hula hoops we used to use when we were kids? You can take one of those and make your own personal medicine wheel that way, or if you have a ring, and you can actually take a coat hanger, those wire ones, and you can make a circle out of it, and you can place that down. That would be to create an idea of a medicine wheel. That's not going to be the medicine wheel itself, but it's actually the idea of the wheel, the circle. Then you create your directions. You make your four directions, basically as if you're creating a cross, and then you place your four fetishes, your four stones, on the four directions, and they place one in the center, whichever you prefer. The place in the center represents your stone. And then you can also use crystals as well. So basically, it doesn't always necessarily be a stone. It could be a crystal, and if you have some favorite ones of your own, you can do that. And things that are sacred to you in your life, you can do the guided imagery exercise to help you find the animal who chooses you and its direction, that you can simply let an animal call you or attract you when you look in the direction. So what you can also do, what I always tell people to do, is you can actually take your finger, you point your finger to that direction, and you can actually close your eyes and visualize what animal is in that direction that represents you. And if that animal represents a wolf, or looks like a wolf, or whatever you prefer, then you put a wolf there. Now, most people can actually take a cutout picture of a wolf. You can also put it in that spot. Anything that you find is important to you that represents of a great importance for me, you can do that. Now, yeah, some people actually will cut out pictures, because what they're really doing is you are creating an image of a protective field, an image of interest to help heal, to go through the healing. Now, before you start, you can put your animals on the ground. You can pick one, one without seeing them. And for this medicine wheel, do not worry about which animal starts out. They will change later. You can actually change animals as you go along. Now, before you start, you place a pinch of tobacco offerings onto each of the directions, starting from the east, the south, the west, the north, and into the center of the medicine wheel. Now, not everybody actually smokes tobacco, but you can also do, if you have a chance, get some sage. I also tell people you can actually use sage, or you can use cedar, be it a bit of cedar. Some people don't have cedar in their territory. You can also use small pieces of spruce, a small spruce bough, because you're creating an image of cleansing and honoring the earth. So basically, that's why we use tobacco, is to honor the earth. Now, some people you may know that has a cigarette. You can borrow a cigarette from them, and they'll think in the air that you are addicted. So if you walk up to them one day and say, "Can I borrow a cigarette from you?" Go ahead, ask them. And you just take that cigarette, you throw away that piece of filter tip, throw that away, and then you take a razor blade or a knife, you cut that cigarette into five sections, and then you can directly place each of your tobacco in those directions. Like I said before, you place the first one in the east, and then you do your prayer, and you put your hand down in the east, and then you think about change, which is the wind, the air, and let an animal call you and put it on the east. And then it can call, and then it can be an animal that you have had or a new one. So it's your own choice. Then you can put your hand to the south and you think about passion. Falling in love, energy, fire, and let an animal call you and put it in the south. And it could be an animal that you have had or a new one. And now you move your hand to the west and you think about healing, which is power, the water, dream times, inner spaces, and let an animal call you, put it in the west. And again, which you've chosen from there on. And then you place your hand to the north and you think about grounding, about family, about work, and what makes you feel safe, the earth. And let an animal call you and put it to the north. And again, it can be an animal that you've had or a new one. And then now you put your hand in the center of the circle, and the center in your life is your life. And you think about your spiritual center who helps you and guides you, and then you can let the figure or an animal call you and then put it in the center. And then that could be a guide or an animal that you've had or a new one. And if you wish, you can ask animals what they do for you and how they will help you in your life. And you have now made your first medicine wheel, which basically, by closing your eyes, you're blessing the medicine wheel and ask it to change your life and say that you will make a medicine wheel again, and then you leave it in peace. And that's exactly what a medicine wheel is. That you are creating an intentional wheel of healing. It's about yourself, it's about family, it's about others, it's about the world, it's about the earth, it's about all living things. And that's what it means to us. There are many different versions of the medicine wheel that we use. I've I worked up in Drift Pile First Nations up in northern Alberta, where I've done this program, and I've created it in a way of directing that medicine wheel in the four directions, where even the human body would stand up straight, and I would place the medicine wheel in front of them, and then that medicine wheel represents their healing centers that need to be taking place. So whatever they're dealing with as far as an issue is concerned that needs to be healed, that part of that medicine wheel will help them heal through it by making the intention to look through the guidance of that medicine wheel. And it's helped them a great deal. Now, let's see here. Now, I got one here that's in the chat room, and I want to share with you. A painter who's in the chat room says she's chosen a cougar. To let you know, painter, the cougar represents, it's almost like an invisible animal, but it's the only animal that actually go after the stomach of a porcupine. It can flip it over and eat its stomach without anyone getting to it. I think we have a caller. The caller there?
Tansi, my friend.
Tansi, how am I talking to?
Joanne from Winnipeg.
Hi, Joanne. How are you doing?
Not too bad. And yourself?
Good. Long time no hear.
I know. I'm phoning because about a month ago, I saw an eagle flying over top of one of our Aboriginal buildings here in Winnipeg.
Okay.
And at first I thought I was seeing things. And so I kept looking back, because we were traveling in the car, and I kept looking back, but I kept seeing it, and it was circling the building. Now, two weeks ago, I dreamt of three eagles, and one eagle came back. So I've been asking, why have I seen one? Why am I dreaming them? And I haven't gotten an answer yet, so I don't know if I'm being impatient or whether you can tell me what's going on.
Well, normally, whenever I've done any ceremonies, when I've gone to any type of location, I've noticed a big difference or a lot of change by looking into the sky. And I always look up to the sky above the building, and if I see an eagle circling a certain building and it's circling constantly, that means that there is someone in there who either is not doing very well as far as their health is concerned,
mm-hmm.
or that there is someone who's going to be honored very soon that has crossed over, and that the eagle is protecting them, is giving them that strength and trying to share that its own energy, because we always ask the eagle to receive our prayers and ceremony and for it to fly as high as possible to Creator to help us deal with our issues or journeys.
Okay, so the eagle that I saw then on top of the Aboriginal building, I don't know if you remember in the news quite a couple of years back, there was a young boy who was murdered in a building. In Winnipeg.
In that building?
In that building, yep.
Okay.
And there was a big to-do about the safety of that Aboriginal building. And he was murdered in the basement. So now my question is, was this eagle for him?
Most likely it was. I feel that it is, yeah. I really feel that it is. I mean, I'll give an example. When I did a funeral service, I was asked to come to sing and to honor one of the twin sisters that had crossed over.
Mm-hmm.
And her other twin asked me to bring my drum, and she asked that her sister in request had wanted me to sing for her to honor, to help her with her spirit, move into the spirit world. And when I was at the gravesite with everyone, they had six doves in a box.
Mm-hmm.
And as I was about to sing, there was an eagle circling us above the gravesite, very close,
mm-hmm.
circling the gravesite. And everybody got nervous. They're going, ooh, well, you know, we're going to be releasing these doves. This eagle is circling the doves. They think that they were going for the doves.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew myself that eagle was honoring us. Was honoring that, you know, that woman that crossed over, that her spirit was about to leave,
mm-hmm.
and he was circling that particular location. And when I was singing the eagle song, because I sang the eagle song, and then when I got to the fourth round, I raised my drumstick, and that was to signal to them to let the doves go. And as I raised the drumstick, and they released the doves, everyone looked up, and there was no eagle.
Oh, wow.
So the eagle was to appear to help that person who has crossed over and to take them to the spirit world. And so we honor them in that way. And then the doves, most people understand the doves represent the connection to the spirit world, which is the angels. And releasing of love doves represents love.
Mm-hmm.
And they're the messengers are saying there's a place for them to go home.
Mm-hmm.
And having to have six doves, whether it's five or six, they were great messengers.
Mm-hmm.
So I strongly feel that eagles have a very strong connection to the other side,
mm-hmm.
that have a great meaning for all of us. So if you ever see an eagle flying above you and circling, and even if you're driving and you see eagle circling, and it still hangs around you or circling you even when you're driving, it's watching over you, making sure that you don't come to harm, and it's
mm-hmm.
making sure that you're watched over.
Mm. Well, when in my dreams, I dreamt that three eagles flew over my house, and I could. It seemed like it was so real, like, you know. And I even comment. I heard myself comment, "Wow, that is so beautiful." And then one eagle came back and circled around this tree that was outside my window. And I've been asking why was I given this dream, but I haven't had an answer yet. So,
well, you know, sometimes we always ask why. And we may think we don't get the answer, but we do get the answer.
Mm-hmm.
Because we are not prepared to, we do have some of that fear, thinking we're looking for the worst of consequences. Because sometimes people, if we look for the why, and if the eagle showed up and say there was someone standing in the background who had passed over, it looked like they're going to be passing over this living, mm-hmm. and the eagle is circling that person or had circled that person, and all of a sudden you become fearful, thinking, oh, my God, well, you know, is so-and-so going to die?
Mm-hmm.
It's not that. It's because their spirit is healing.
Yeah.
And or if, I'll give an example. When I was in I had to go to Brittany Beach, and I was heading up in that direction here in British Columbia. I was heading up to Brittany Beach. And I got a phone call from a woman who actually worked for the Parks Board, and one of her friends had died. He committed suicide.
Mm-hmm.
This man was First Nations, and she asked me if I can come up to help heal the family. And I said, sure, I don't mind. So I drove up there, and I went looking for, apparently I was supposed to go look for his best friend, that who was in mourning, and he was kind of confused why his other best friend had committed suicide. So I went to Brittany Beach, and I couldn't find him, so I went up to Squamish, thinking that he was up in that area, and I couldn't find him, so I ended up coming back, and I thought, you know, I got a feeling I need to stop off at this one particular store, which was actually a First Nations Native Arts and Crafts Center. So I walked in there, and I walked around, and I couldn't believe it. I kept seeing so many eagle feathers in jars, like they were actually beautiful glass jars, and there were pockets and pockets and pockets of eagle feathers in these jars, not for sale, just displayed. And I'm walking around. I'm totally fascinated, but just regular, you know, eagle feathers. And then I walk up to the counter, and I could see down below the counter, the glass counter, and there was two white eagle feathers, tail feathers, under the counter, but I felt the energy was so strong. I mean, it made me vibrate just even right through the glass. So when I leaned over and I said to the woman there, and I said, those eagle feathers are drawing me to them. And she said, really? And I said, yeah. And she said, do you have business in this area? And I said, well, actually, to tell you the truth, I was asked to come up by a young woman who has a friend of hers, and she says that she told me that she has a friend who his best friend had committed suicide, and I was here to help heal the family. And she said, what's his name? And I gave her the name, and she says, that's my nephew who committed suicide.
Wow.
And she said, well, let me tell you the story. She said, when we found him, he shot himself outside of his home in his backyard. Now, they live out in the country, so they found him outside, and he had this shed. And earlier before that, a few months before, the elders made him a spirit mask that would protect him to help him go through his drug and alcohol addiction. And he was supposed to help him go through his healing.
Mm-hmm.
But for some reason, the man did not really respect the mask as much as he should have.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't put it into his house to protect him. He'd left it in the shed. And basically, in a way, not totally dishonoring, but not understanding.
Yeah.
And he still could not understand his life, and so he shot himself. And when they found him on the ground, laying outside on the ground next to the shed, but they also found a dead eagle laying next to him.
Oh, wow.
Now, that eagle never had any gunshot wounds whatsoever near it.
Hmm.
But it was laying next to the man. When they found him, they knew what was happening, because when one commits suicide, there's a belief system in some of the First Nations people that if a man And some people who are in the States are called Native American Indians. But they believe that if you commit suicide, that you're stuck in the mid-world. So this eagle flew above this man, and this eagle gave his life for this man's spirit.
So he could cross over.
So he can go into the next world.
Mm-hmm.
And those, she said, they did a ceremony with that eagle with her nephew. And they buried that eagle with the nephew, but they kept some of the feathers. And those two tail feathers came from the very same eagle that were in that cabinet.
Wow.
And she said to me, I said to her, well, the interesting part of it is, I said, I was questing for my pipe, and I was just finishing decorating my pipe. I said, I wasn't totally finished my pipe, my medicine pipe, and I said, I'm looking for two white eagle feathers. And she said, I feel that I need to give you these.
Mm.
So I in trade, she gave me the two white eagle feathers for my pipe, with my pipe, to go with my pipe, and I gave her the medicines in exchange.
Wow.
It completed my pipe, it completed my journey, but it also completed her family's journey.
Mm-hmm.
She said to her, because she thought to herself, why should I keep the two white eagle feathers? Why should I keep the feet? Because there's, you know, she had many in her store. But she felt led herself that they should be there, because mm-hmm. she knew someday that someone would be coming in. So I tell the story, because the medicine pipe that I carry is called the spirit pipe.
Yep.
And this pipe is to help to heal those that are lost in the spirit world,
mm-hmm.
and also to help heal those who are dealing with their own personal issues, drug addiction, alcohol addiction, so we wake up the pipe. And so there's different ways of us who carry our medicines, but there's also different ways how eagle flies with us or walks with us. And so in your life, that eagle flies with you in a very special way.
Mm-hmm.
And that flies with you because part of your medicine, because it is a seer, it's a protector, and a guide.
Mm. Okay.
So it works with the mind, the body, and the spirit.
Oh.
Those are your three eagles.
Good. Also, too, since you last told me that my two animal spirits were bear and wolf,
yep.
another one has come into play, and that's the cougar. So I haven't seen too much of the cougar.
What I mentioned before, I was about to say, the cougar actually, if you look at its image of what it is, the cougar likes to be... it's called a camouflage cat. It likes to blend in the background where it doesn't want to be seen, or if it wants to be seen, it let itself be known.
Oh, okay.
The cougar is the only animal that knows how to get to a porcupine, because the porcupine is the most difficult animal that any wild animal can ever affect its life or to kill it.
Right.
The cougar knows how to turn it over and get to its stomach to eat its stomach out.
Mm-hmm.
So basically what it's saying here is that you're able to get through all types of defenses that you think that could be negative to you,
mm-hmm.
and not to be afraid or intimidated by how long or how sharp
mm-hmm.
things can be wrought out in front of you and think you cannot do, because you can always you can accomplish anything.
Oh, good. Because I've been meditating, and my bear and my wolf come to me, but
okay.
very, very seldom does my cougar come to me.
The cougar, like I said, only comes out when it needs to.
Okay.
Like I said, it's camouflaged. Now, the cougar at times, if you think about it, I would say look up the cougar totem.
Yeah.
Anybody who has an interest in the cougar, look on the totem. You can go onto the internet, look under the Google search engine, look under cougar totem, T-O-T-E-M.
Okay.
And it'll tell you a lot about itself, but, you know, you think about it, how I tell people this, is any animal that's part of you, or you're attracted to, whether it's a fox, a cougar, bear, eagle, hawk, owl, could be a chipmunk, could be a mouse.
Mm-hmm.
You think about, how would you feel if you were that animal? Visualize yourself being that animal, being the cougar. What would you do being that cougar? How would you feel being that cougar?
Mm-hmm.
What would you do with that cougar? How would you respond being that cougar? What does a cougar do?
Yeah.
Its own habits.
Okay.
Where does it go? What does it eat? What keeps it so busy? Same with a fox. Same with an eagle. Same with a bear. What do you think it would do? Learn its habits.
Yeah.
When you learn about the habits of these animals, that's what makes you stronger, because you learn how to walk with these animals.
All right.
I have a friend of mine who gave me these two wonderful skulls. His name is Denny. I was up in Drift Pile. He gave me these beautiful two little small skulls of weasels.
Mm-hmm.
And I was so honored, because those are very difficult to to have of your own, is to find something that small.
Yeah.
And I thought, weasel skull. Now what does a weasel do? And I think about it. Well, weasels are very cunning. They're very smart. They can outsmart anything.
Right.
Because they're long and thin. And they can kill a chicken. And they like to drink the blood.
They're also providers, too.
Exactly.
Yeah, because you put a weasel in a barn, a female weasel in a cage in a barn, and the male weasel will bring her all her food.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. So there, that's what I got. Why I got two weasel skulls given, because I was doing my work up in northern Alberta, and I've been working a lot, very hard, and so in return, what I did for my friend, he gave me in return the two weasel skulls, which I thought was fabulous, because every skull that we have, that we, whether it's in our home or out of our home, they still represent a healing medicine. They still represent something that will help us deal with our issues,
which
I find is really good.
Very good. Well, thank you, my friend.
If you ever come across a skull of your own, you know, some people say, oh, I don't want to touch anything that has, you know, skull on it or meat on it or fur. People don't realize an animal's energy is important. It protects us.
Yes. Yeah.
Anybody who goes out there, sorry, guys, anybody out there who thinks they're a PETA protector, you know, animal, it doesn't mean every animal's tortured, because these animals' lives are given to us. They give the lives for us, whether they provide us food, provide us clothing, provide us something, but, or even provide us dance, because we still use their skins, we use their hooves, we use their claws, we use their horns, we use everything and anything.
Exactly.
That's part of it, but it represents a medicine to us and protects us.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, my good, my friend.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
We'll
take care.
We'll talk to you again.
Okay. Bye-bye. Now, this is a lot of fun. Now, if anybody else wants to ask what their certain animal that represents to them, you can give me a call. The toll-free numbers are, in the U.S., it's 877-876-5227. That's 877-876-5227. Canada, 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. International lines is 530-876-3222. That's 530-876-3222. Even at this moment, a lot of us are curious what our animal totems are. You know, we think to ourselves now, what do we really, why do we need an animal totem in our life? Well, you know, we have a guide. We have human guides. We have animal guides. They are very, they have a purpose. And because they give us, you know, we're always attracted to something. I've actually seen people, I mean, you can look at some of the greeting cards, for example. Now, greeting cards, they always put the father's image in the greeting card for, say, Father's Day. And you always see a picture of ducks flying across the sky. And it looks like the great white hunter, you know, and he's shooting the ducks. Now, why do they put ducks in a Father's Day card or a father's birthday card? Because they figure every father is a hunter. And he's a sole provider. And so what does a woman do? Well, she feeds him. She cooks for him. So whether he shoots the animal, whatever he brings home, whether it's a deer, whether it's a duck, whether it's a rabbit, muskrat, even rattlesnake. You know, we always eat something. I've had different varieties of animals in my life that I've eaten. If you guys want to call me and let me know if there's anything really strange you ate in your life, even insects, let me know, because I've had my share of insects, too. I've had grubs, I've eaten worms, I've eaten ants. We had chocolate-covered ants one time. Fried them up and had chocolate-covered ants. We've had grasshoppers. They're kind of dry and crusty. You just got to try some of these little nutritious meals from under the ground and above the ground. People are going like, oh, I wouldn't eat that. Ooh. Well, I actually got my sister one time. We were just kids. We're in the garden, and we're living in Winnipeg, Manitoba at the time. Like where Joanne called from, is that from Winnipeg? And it's a fun story because I was like, my sister must have been like 6, 7 years old, and she was it was a summer day, summer night actually in the afternoon. I remember this day, I'll never forget it. And I had a handful of worms. Now, what do you do with these worms? You sit there, You got to do something to torment some of these worms. And my sister kept saying, don't touch me, don't touch me. I don't like those worms. Don't get them anywhere near me. Don't get near me. Go away. Don't touch me. Well, guess what I did? I snuck up behind her, pulled back her pants and her back, and I dropped them back in her butt, right down the pants, her back of her butt. She grabbed her pants so hard, she squeezed the worms in between her cheeks. And she was running in the house, Mom, Mom, you put worms in my pants. It was so funny. We got a caller calling in. Hello?
Hi, Derek. This is Michelle from Nebraska.
Hi.
I called in when you had Scott on your show.
Yeah.
We were having problems with a spirit in our home.
You're having problems with a spirit in your home?
We were, yeah. We called when Scott was on your show.
Yeah, you called about Scott, yes. And how is it turning out so far?
Yep, and well, we had tried to get a hold of him, but things kind of got bad quick, and so we got a hold of one of our local medicine men here. I work for one of the tribes here in Nebraska, and got one of the grandparents of my students to come in, and he actually took care of everything for us.
How is it now?
To tell you thank you. We had a pipe ceremony here in our home, and
good.
Yeah, and things have really calmed down. And then Sunday, but...
Yeah, like I said, you had to have someone there as a medicine keeper to be in there to bless the place. I find that very important because if it's someone who is native that's crossed over, you would have to do a ceremony to honor that person.
Yeah, and he said this wasn't something to mess with. He said that these medicine men's spirits are very strong.
Oh.
And he said they can actually physically do things. In fact, they didn't have the full-fledged ceremony in our home. We have one-year-old twins and us, and he said he just
you would have to
the
do
prayers.
The if you did the full-fledged ceremony, the children would have to be out of the house.
Right. Yeah, but he wanted them here since they were the ones that were being bothered.
Yeah.
More so, we did the tobacco ties and we did the flags and we did
the
prayers
did
here. But
yeah.
Then he went out to the Sundance grounds. And finished it that night for us. So, but yeah, everything worked out well. And just wanted to tell you that I appreciated all your help and Scott's help. It was an exhausting experience, but
it can be. I know what it's like. It can be an exhausting experience. A lot of people think that it's just simple and easy to walk into a place that's haunted, and they think, oh well, you know, Bob passed away. Maybe he's running around the house. You never know where that house was built. You know, a lot of people realize you put a house on a piece of land and you'll think, okay, well, what happens here? We don't know. You have to go back into the history and find out what happens. I mean, you have to really, and you got to really know where it fits.
This was so far back that I don't think there were any written records. There had been no way of knowing who this person really was.
No. A lot of people don't realize that some of these things can go way back, and it can affect, you know, it can affect your children's lives, it can affect your life. It doesn't, it won't affect the children as much because the spirits don't really go after the children, but the children are affected by its energy.
Mm-hmm.
They will actually notice there's somebody that doesn't feel right to them or may look different to them.
Right.
And so they end up telling you or telling dad or telling grandma or grandpa, and that's when they'll find out, you know, if, because sometimes kids will have bad dreams.
Mm-hmm.
And or else you end up having bad dreams. And it mostly affects the women more than men. The men like to scoff it off. Oh, it's just your imagination. The women
right.
are the ones that find it.
And see, we were kind of wondering that, too, because it affected me much more than my husband. I mean, he heard some of the things I heard towards the end because it was getting stronger.
Yes.
But it definitely affected me a lot more.
Yes. Well,
the
reason why, because you're also the life giver.
And so, but... along the lines of the totem animals, not to change the subject drastically, but I don't want to keep you too long. Other people probably want to get a hold of you, but I said I had one-year-old twins, and ever since I was carrying them, I've always seen two hawks. And for me, the hawk has always been very strong, has always been around me. I see it even in strange places, like in the city. And when I was expecting my babies, there were always two. And so I just kind of feel that presence with them, and that must be something special to them for there always to be.
Well, actually, I want to share this with you right now. Have you ever been given your own name?
No.
In ceremony?
No, because I'm not very much Native. My husband is.
It makes no difference.
I'm only like 1/32nd.
It makes no difference. If your spirit is with the Native nation, it doesn't mean the blood. Because
okay.
you're so Americanized, you're believing that you're nothing.
Right.
Okay? That's Americans. That's the Americans for you. They have to put a bloodline on something. They say, well, you're only droplet blood, X amount, this, and that doesn't make... Why they do this, why the American government did this, so then you get nothing for anything, any claim for any lands that actually is considered yours.
Well, they just want to wipe them out.
Pardon?
You know, I mean, my ancestors were Canadian Ojibwe, but yeah, the U.S. government just wanted to wipe the people out.
Exactly.
You know, eventually they'll become extinct if they put blood quantums on. And
we don't have blood quantums here, not in Canada. We have what's called stories. They're storytellers. We have people that are passed from generation to generation that tell the story, who they come from, where their auntie from, where their grandparents are from.
Mm-hmm.
And great-grandparents, that's how we tell the story. It's passed from generation to generation. That's how we find out, not by the government. The government is not the one that has any right to tell you what you should be blood or not blood. Right? Our
right.
blood flows
yes.
red. And yes, you may have a DNA, but it doesn't give you a whole heck of a lot.
Right. So,
right?
Yeah, I've never been named. And I wouldn't know even where to go.
Yeah. But I want to say this to you, my dear. That it would have for you seeing the hawk. The hawk represents the messenger. That means it's protecting you. It's watching you through the daytime. So as often as you are, no matter where you go in your path, if the hawk crosses your path, it's warning you ahead of time to make sure that you're not in danger.
Okay.
And you're being watched over and well taken well care of.
Okay.
Okay.
That's good.
When you see two hawks. That means there's actually someone in spirit with that name that actually wants to talk to you. And that is, I would say, if you get a chance to sit with someone who is a reader, who understands the spirit world, they'll tell you exactly who that person is because you have an Indian guide by the name of Two Hawks.
Oh.
Okay?
Okay, I just thought it had to do with my children, I guess. But
he's a relative of yours.
Okay.
Okay.
Wow.
So that's his given name by his own people. And so whatever happens from there, I would say do the generational check and see what happens.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay.
Yes. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Okay. Well, thank you. It was good talking to you again.
Okay. Take care.
Yep. Thanks. Bye-bye. Bye.
It happens quite often. We get people who, I don't know, it gets to be confusing. You know, when the American government gets in there and you start telling them that your bloodline and your quantum blood, oh man, this drives me up the freaking wall. Quantum blood. You only have that X amount of blood to call you native. And then I have them at the board, tell them at the border, we don't recognize the name Métis. We don't know what a Métis is. Well, excuse me, guys, American government, we were trading furs on the American side from Montana straight up down the Columbia River, but when your ancestors were doing the coochie coo across the border, we were trading. And if you don't know what a Métis was, the word Métis did exist back then, but that was ignorance of the federal government in the American side. They don't want to recognize the word Métis because it represents native nation. It represents a people of human life. And there's a southern Métis nation that actually exists on the other side in the States. And they were also involved with the trading, the trading post, which is involved with the Hudson's Bay Company and Northwest Trade. So I don't care what the federal government thinks, but in my heart, and I'll tell you this right now, in my heart, I know I'm native because I know I have native blood. Because it's passed down from my grandma, my kukum, down to my family. And I know who I am. But you people may not know who you are. I think you need to find out who your relatives are sometimes, because sometimes your relatives have been lost and have been crossbred from another country, European country. Exactly, that's where some of our family are crossbred. That's why I call ourselves Métis. The Métis means, it's a Michif language. It means, French and Cree means mixed blood. It means mixed European blood or with native blood. That's what it means. It does not mean quantum. It does not mean, well, I'm part Jewish and part Hickok. It doesn't mean that thing, guys. There's no religion to it. So, I get frustrated. I don't get angry. I get frustrated because some people come up with some really dumbass thinkings. Now watch, I'll cross the board, he won't let me in. I'm telling you, that's what happens. You get picked on so much. Oh, it's crazy. Anyways, no, I'm glad that her house is better. I'm glad her house is more at peace, because it is difficult at times when people do go through loss of having a comfortable home, because there's someone who's in spirit that likes to hang around and they like to disrupt it. And we don't know who's there unless you have someone like myself on location to talk to those who crossed over and explain to themselves why they're there or why they decide to hang around. And that's exactly what happens. So I'm glad that everything all worked out well and the house is more peaceful. I'd like to thank the elders that did the ceremony. That stepped up to the plate with them and helped assist them. I do appreciate that. There's a little story that I want to share with you. It's a poem called Reincarnation. And people used to always say, what does reincarnation mean? Well, there is a fellow who was a cowboy, decided to write this story, and he wanted to tell you what reincarnation means in the old West way. And it goes like this. What does reincarnation mean? A cowpoke asked his friend. His pal replied, it happens when your life has reached its end. They comb your hair, they wash your neck, and clean your fingernails, and lay you in a padded box away from life prevails. The box and you goes in a hole that's been dug into the ground. Reincarnation starts in when you're planted neath the mound. Them cloths melt down just like your box and you who is inside, and then you're just beginning on your transformation ride. In a while the grass will grow upon your rendered mound until someday on your flattened grave a lonely flower is found. and say a hoss should wander by and graze upon this flower that once was you, but now it's become your vegetative bower. The posy that hose, the hoss done ate up with his other feed makes bone and fat and muscle essential to the steed. But some is left and that he can't use, and so it passes through and finally lays upon the ground this thing that once was you. And say by chance I wanders by and seizes upon the ground, and I ponders and I wanders at this object that I found. I thinks of reincarnation, of life and death and such, and come away concluding, Slim, you ain't changed all that much. Cute poem, isn't it? It's so funny, I think it's cute. Anyways, I'd like to thank everyone for listening to the show, and I look forward to seeing you guys next week. Take care of yourselves. This is Derek Weissguy Cloud talking to you from dbsradio.com, and the show is called Between Two Worlds, and we'll see you next week on Tuesday night, 8 o'clock Pacific Standard Time. Be there, be square, and listen. If you have anybody else that wants to listen to the show, share that with them. Give me some feedback, folks. There's a website that I have, and on the bbsradio.com, go to my page, whitescottcloud.com, go to my website, whitescottcloud.com, or you can actually go to bbsradio.com and go to Between Two Worlds page. You scroll down on a Tuesday night, 8 o'clock, and on that site it says feedback. Go there and give me your thoughts, what you thought about the show. Gives us an idea of what's been going on. Anything you want to ask about, anything you were interested in, want for us to do, for me to do for the show, give me a call. I'm going to bring on more new guests coming up in the next few weeks. So, guys, take care. It's been a pleasure talking to you all. And we'll talk to you next week. Bye.
Hi, this is Brentwood from Legion of Love. Just letting you know you can now hear some of our new released and unreleased tracks on our website, legionoflove.com. You can also purchase our EPs, Grey Matter Tunes and Matters of the Heart, as well as all of our singles, including Shine a Light and Love is the Answer, at most major download sites. And of course, you can hear them on BBS Radio, the number one internet radio network in the world. Peace and love.
Zeebo publishes a popular, inspirational, and insightful newsletter filled with information about her upcoming guests, her travel schedule, seminar presentations, and upbeat articles to lighten up your life. You can subscribe to this free monthly newsletter by emailing her at Donna@DelphiInternational.com. That's Donna@DelphiInternational.com. You can also go to her website, www.DelphiInternational.com.